Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Brunson gives it up. Three to shoot. Hard on the ball fake. His floater rolls off. Rebound knocked out of bounds, and it will stay with the Knicks again. How many possessions, even if it's not a clean offensive rebound, have the Knicks created another opportunity?
Well, and this is the Knicks look like they're just quicker to the ball right now. That ball is bouncing, but it typically is bouncing off of Philly's hands, and it's ending up a big possession.
The story of the series right there. Possession after possession, the Knicks grab the offensive rebound, and the Sixers stand around and watch. Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gill. A lot of reaction on the draft. We'll get to what's going to happen here with the secondary, because it's a good problem to have now. The Eagles have like 11 corners. We'll get to that coming up in a little bit with Cooper DeJean in the second round. Obviously, Quinyon Mitchell in the first round. Your chance to react as well. The Trott Jr. draft pick and everything, how he did this weekend. One of the better drafts across the NFL. So we'll get to all that coming up. Your Sixers reaction here. Are you annoyed at Joel Embiid? I am. Look, I'm not annoyed ever when a player just has a tough time. That happens, right? As long as he's giving max effort. And I do think Joel Embiid is giving effort. The problem is, and the frustrating part is, it's Groundhog Day because he doesn't play his best in the playoffs every year. The fourth quarters have been miserable in this series. Three out of four games, he's just been invisible. And then I'm annoyed hearing him talk about the fans yesterday. Not that he's totally wrong. It is frustrating to see all these Knicks fans here. I just don't want to hear from him when he no-shows the fourth quarter. So part of the reason the fourth quarter may have stunk for him yesterday is he was gassed, as he has been a lot in this series. Maybe because he played the entire second half. Here's Nick Nurse on the substitution patterns and Embiid and why he did what he did.
He was feeling good and wanted to go. So I think it's, you know, these games are all must win. And we didn't have a very good stretch when he was out in the first half. So we were willing to continue on.
I think Nick Nurse is between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, right. He's the best player. And you, like I said, if he's not out there, you're probably down 20 points. So he has to go. But when you have, like, as I've never been a coach, but when you have coaches that have players of his caliber and you have that player look at you and say, hey, coach, I can go, you expect him to go.
Right.
And unfortunately, for a list of reasons, litany of reasons, Joel Embiid came up short in the fourth quarter. You can't do that. That's the bottom line. You know, we can sit here and the bench did not give him any help. We get that. And the other guys look like deer in the headlights. We get that. But I don't think anybody would argue with me when I say that the best player on the court at any given time during that series was Joel Embiid. And in the fourth quarter, when it's time to, you know, to pull him up by the bootstraps and get it done, he didn't get it done.
So I know Kyle made the point earlier that Brunson has gotten more help in the series than Joel has. And I don't disagree with that. But once in a while in a series, it does become my best player against your best player.
Yes.
I remember a game, I think it was 08 when the Celtics won the title. There was a game 7 where they played the Cavs, a young LeBron and Paul Pierce. They were just back and forth, possession for possession. Pierce, LeBron. And Pierce got the better of him that day. You know, he had the better team around him, but he got the better of him. And yesterday, it called for that kind of game. Like, the Knicks, I mean, their one center was out. The other center had 5 fouls. Hart stunk yesterday offensively. He didn't score much. That game became Brunson just kept scoring and Embiid fell off. Like they that game called for Embiid to do more down the stretch.
Isn't that kind of what happened to Brunson? Like the reverse happened in the last game. Joel Embiid put up 50 points and Brunson shrunk. But the game was, you know, close for the most part until we just, I mean, they were raining threes, which obviously is not something that's happened consistently for this team. But Brunson's had a lot more help in all three games, even the game where Joel Embiid dropped 50. Like, the only reason the Knicks were in that game at all was because of all the other guys.
I agree. I'm just saying yesterday. We can't say the help thing. Brunson didn't have any help yesterday. I mean, what help did he have? They had two players in double digits other than him. I mean, he didn't have much help.
Right.
That was, yesterday
I guess
was him.
My point is Embiid didn't really get the help. When Embiid had the 50-point game, it was, well, I guess Maxey played pretty well. But, yeah. But other than that, like, besides Embiid and Maxey, where is anybody?
I know. I'm just... If you just line, let's just do this. Then we'll go back to your phone calls. If we did a thing like playground basketball, who would be, of the three players picked, the first three players, how many would be on the Sixers?
Two. Playground basketball?
Two.
Yeah, two.
Right, so like I can't only go so far with the help. He's got this, he either has the third best player, or if you think Maxey's better than Brunson, which I don't, but he's kind of close. He has the third best player in the series on his side. I just like, this whole thing would help as if the Knicks have five All-Stars. They have one great player. That's it. The Sixers have another All-Star on their team in Tyrese Maxey. So, like, I can only go so far with the help. Spanky's at Southwest Philly. What's up, Spanky?
Hold on. Hey, man.
What's
hey,
up, Spanky?
I got to say something, man. I was out with my lady yesterday, and I was walking into a restaurant. And I'll give him this. Yeah, I didn't like the way the crowd sounded, too. You heard it on the speaker before I saw the game. I said, damn, sound like the Knicks is at home. So I'll give them that. I was a little disappointed in us not showing up, but I'll give them that. What I'm more concerned about with this team is the lack of effort, man. I don't like the fact that mostly all of these games that they played in, that they didn't have the effort that these cats did. That was what was making me mad. And you're 100% right. Embiid is the superstar. I love this dude. Don't get me wrong. I don't want them to get rid of him. But at some point, man, he got to start taking responsibility for taking over these games. He's the biggest dude out there. He got Hardenstein in the foul trouble in the first half. That dude, he should have been muscling them dudes. I mean, at some point, at the end of the game, you got to take that say. You got to say, you know what, get me the ball. I'm gonna win this game. That's what I was impressed by, Jalen Brunson. I didn't know he had that in him. That dude was killing them yesterday. He was killing them. And I just didn't like the fact is that every year after year after year, we got to keep going through the same stuff, man. And I don't want to keep blaming it on the GMs that they didn't put a lot around this cat. I get it. But at some point, man, somebody got to come up with some effort. Tobias Harris was in my store. Oh, I managed one of the auto parts stores up here not too far from y'all. Tobias Harris was in my store. A couple months back. And I told, this was when they was on the roller with it. And I told him, man, I was proud of them. I ain't proud of him right now, man. I'm pissed off, but I'm at a point right now where we used to this. I'm kind of numb to it right now. And I just want to say one more thing. I want to shout out to myself, man. I just got engaged a couple weeks ago to my lady. I'm real happy about that.
Shout out to yourself,
well,
man, brother.
Congratulations, Spanky. That's awesome.
Yeah. All right. So I just want to. We was out a little celebrating a little bit yesterday because I'm still on a two to three week high about that. 52 years old after that, and I don't like the energy to this team, man. I don't know what it is. I always thought that they needed a point guard in here that can calm them down
Spank,
in the crucial
Spank,
moments.
Spank, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Spank. You 52?
Yeah, I'm 52, man.
Spank, listen, I don't want to be a hater.
Don't be ageist, Hugh.
No, wait a minute.
Awesome.
Damn, Spank,
somebody in this city's
Spank,
getting a ring.
Hold up. Can I finish?
Hold on. We might get an invitation to the wedding, and
no,
you're going
to
get taken away.
But I'm about to say, Spank, you 52. Why you wait? I mean, you waited this long. Why you doing it now? I'm just asking.
Because I'm gonna tell you why. Because on a personal note, my lady died 10 years ago, and. My kid's mom died 10 years ago. I should have did it then, but I didn't. I just found love all over again, man. My lady's 55, I'm 52. We've been friends for a long time. We decided just to go in and rock it out. If I tell you the story, one of these days, you're off in there up the top of City Line, you come through and come and holler at me. I'm at
you know what, you know what, Spank? You already made me feel like a heel by asking now. So I didn't know it was going to be that deep, but
Spanky,
hey.
Congrats,
I'm glad you found love,
yeah, we're happy for you.
Somebody's getting
man,
a ring.
I'm just saying, being Spank the same age, I'm just like, why? Why go?
And he hits you with some real life stuff.
He hit me with so much reality that was like a gut punch. Kind of like it was to see the Knicks fans yesterday doing all the stuff that they was doing outside the Wachovia Center.
And like inside. Can we hear it again? We put it at the beginning.
It was the Wells Fargo, my bad.
I never thought I'd hear that. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that was a lot.
Oh, my gosh. It's awful.
It's one thing to hear them cheer in the game, right? When like Embiid missed a free throw shot, you know, obviously we're going to be quiet because it's a bad moment. And whatever's there, they're going to cheer. I get that. But that, you see the video of that, you're like, oh my goodness, that was rough there. Congratulations. How about a little shout out to himself? Like, we don't get those very often. I like that. You know what? Shout out me.
But self shout outs should become more of a thing.
I ain't mad at him though.
No, that's awesome.
Just kind of hate I asked the question about, you know, but I walked. You know,
yeah, you did
mad.
Walk right into it. And by the way, he did mention Tobias Harris being disappointed. We check off from the box in Joel Embiid excuse bingo. Now we have
congratulations, Tobias Harris.
That's right. We have Tobias checked off here. So we're not quite at bingo, but we are certainly on the path to bingo before this show is over. Chuck and Mount Airy. What's up, Chuck?
Chuck.
Yo, Gillio, what's the dealio?
Chuck, what's up, pal?
And shout out to my boy Spanky. Get married when you can, brother. I'm going home to my wife to a home cooked meal.
Hey, you ain't got Chuck, you ain't got to rub it in. You ain't got to rub it in, dog. You ain't got to rub it in.
I'm just saying, man, ain't nothing out here. You know what I mean? Let my boy Spanky do what he does. Y'all been ready 52, 32, or 62. Congratulations, brother. You know what I mean? You gotta love your life, get married.
Yeah, I did hate on Spanky a little bit, though. I was.
And you, that was crazy, man. But it's cool, though. You get away with it. You know what I mean? Hey, listen, man. Listen, I want to say this fan base is officially not the best fan base in all of sports. I'm sorry. It's not the best fan base in all of sports no more. I know people, you know, 700 level, where I grew up, you know, watching and I admire. Those guys are rolling over in their grave. If they're still alive, they're very disappointed in this new fan base. You know, you had Knicks fans being totally disrespectful in our building, dumping on our flags, throwing their chin outside our building. Like, Embiid, he shrunk in the fourth quarter. You know what I mean? And Embiid don't have that killer instinct. It's just simple as that. You know what I mean? Embiid, you want to see somebody have that killer instinct, just go ahead and turn on the channel and look at Anthony Edwards when he dunked on Durant.
Yeah, he was on one.
He's a monster, man. He don't care who you are. He's coming to destroy you. And Embiid don't got that, man. He's a fake tough guy. He'll pick you up off the ground when he knock you down. You want to check to see if you're okay. He's telling Jalen Brunson, I didn't do nothing to you. You know, it's just, you know, and anybody check on Batum yet? Because, I mean, Batum almost got his soul taken out of here. You know, in midair, he went up in one position. He came down the same position he went up with. That was a crazy block. Like, you know, this team is soft. You know, they don't have no desire to win to me. They traded all their heart away. You know, you could have used Marcus Morris. You could have used Patrick Beverley and still got Kyle Lowry in this type of series. You know what I mean? These guys, Maxie's running around smiling. Like, I need grit, man. I need grit.
Well, Chuck, it's like, a good point about Morris and Beverly. They would have matched the intensity of the Knicks. We don't have enough of it. We don't.
We don't have it. And you knew you was coming into a series with a team like this.
Yeah, you knew it was going to be a knockdown dragout from day one. Yeah. Like, that's what everybody talked about.
Yeah, but I don't get it, man. The Sixers are done, man. The Sixers are done. Just take me out my misery on Tuesday. Don't even try to just get out of it. Listen, I'm still disappointed in this organization. I'm disappointed in Embiid. I apologize to you another day. I take it back, man. He's soft and hot, man. Now, listen, man, let me say something about – I want to say something, give a shout-out to Jeffrey Lurie, because I think this was mainly Jeffrey Lurie more than anybody. Jeffrey Lurie said, go back, get my godson. I was so happy when we went and got Trout Jr. because I think he's going to be a great player here. And I always was a huge X-Men fan. And I think that, you know, to go back and get this guy, you know what I mean, it topped off the draft. The draft was already a great draft, but to top it off with the cherry, that was to go get Trot's son, man. So I'm happy he's an Eagle. I believe he can start. Ain't nobody here is a legitimate starter here. I like Devin White, but, I mean, he's still in the other linebackers. And I think that Jeremiah Trotter is going to work with him to work hard like he did to be a great player in this league. So,
Chuck,
it's
a great call, man. And you're right. It was the cherry on top. Good call, Chuck. It was the cherry on top of this draft because people were excited anyway before the Trot Jr. pick. People were excited. They got Cooper DeJean in the second round. They got a couple wide receivers that people have some thoughts that could maybe help a little bit here in the slot.
Yeah.
But that was the cherry on top that they brought Trot Jr. in. And you said it a little while ago, Hugh. I agree with you. This linebacking core doesn't exactly have a lot of things you feel great about.
It ain't, like, you know what's funny? Again, I had a chance to talk to Trot. Well, we text via text.
By the way, Trot is going to be on the afternoon show at 4 o'clock today.
Okay, yeah, that's shout out to that man. But I was like, damn, you know, you talk about a perfect storm. There's been a couple times where, you know, you like I've talked to him. I remember when Trot was sitting at home, and Andy called him for his last year he played because the linebacker situation was bad. And I remember sitting in there, and I remember talking to Trot, and I said, dude, I said, man, what the hell are you doing, man? Because he had just did his workout, and mm-hmm. he was tired. And I said, dog, what you doing? He said, Hugh, he said, God told me I had one more season. And I looked at him. And, you know, when he talked like that, I know he's serious, and he meant that. And he ended up playing one season. And when I talked to him the other day, and he was talking about, you know, just texting back and forth, And he was like, hey, man, it just felt like it was meant to be. And I was like, you know what else is weird about all of this? Nobody has number 54 on the squad. Like, and you talk about the perfect storm. I was like, wow, nobody. Like, I looked through the roster just to make sure. And I'm like, damn, nobody has 54. So he ain't got to worry about the whole rookie thing, trying to get somebody's number. He can step right in and wear his pop's number. Like, that's big. Like, and it's big. And I even teased him and I said, dude, he ain't got to worry about nowhere to stay. Like, he's staying at the house with you, and you probably got the big screen up when y'all gonna be watching film. Dude, you couldn't, like, as a parent, you couldn't ask for anything more to have that type of situation for your son to be in. So, yeah, it's just bananas how everything came together. So, yeah, you know, I'm definitely pulling for him. Definitely put
the 54 thing feels like it was almost meant to be.
Yeah,
like it was like just sitting there waiting, and the Eagles took advantage of it and grabbed him when he was still on the board in the fifth round. 215-592-9494. Jeff in Wilmington. Hey, Jeff.
Yeah, what's up, guys?
Hey,
what's
Jeff.
Up, man?
Real quick on the Eagles and then Sixers. What a year for a young linebacker to make a mark on this team. You know, the linebacker position is kind of wide open, so I feel pretty good about the fact that Trotter Jr. could possibly get some playing time at that position. And I think I like everything the Eagles did on the draft. They pretty much addressed most of their needs, but specifically the defense.
Well, and the secondary, Jeff. I mean, all offseason, yeah. I just kept – it never made sense to me. Like, I know you could say, well, it's the pass rush or the coordinator, but, like, if your pass defense is that bad, you got to get new defensive backs. And, you know, they got Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, and obviously Rodgers is reinstated, but I thought they needed a lot more, and I'd say Mitchell and DeJean, that's a lot more right there.
Yep, and it's night and day between the two ownerships, between the Sixers and the Eagles. I mean, I've heard the 20 seconds I heard Jeffrey Lurie talk was probably 20 seconds more than I've heard Josh Harris talk in the last 2 or 3 years,
mm-hmm.
except when he was talking about the Commanders. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so here's the thing about Joel. He's an elite player. He has elite talent. I don't know if he's a complete elite player because he doesn't step up enough. You know, he dropped that 50 the other day. But there's too many times where he's just slacked off, and this team is not built when one of the main players slacks off. They only have him and Maxey. They have a bunch of the other guys are a bunch of Robert Covingtons. Like they can't step up because they just don't have the talent. And Joel, like Chuck said, Joel doesn't have that killer instinct. And as an elite player, you either have to elevate yourself and take over a game, or you have to elevate the players around you to take over a game when you don't have it. And he can't do that consistently.
So, and that's Jeff, that's the NBA playoffs. The killers, the guys that have the killer instincts, they win championships.
Definitely.
And the other guys don't.
So if I have to blame or put blame on anybody, so I didn't expect anything, so I'm not really mad. I'm like Tupac over here. I ain't mad at him. I'm just saying that the ownership over the last 9 or 10 years, the one constant has been Embiid, and the other constant has been not bringing in the correct players to play around him and or the coaches. So that's where I'm at with this team. I'm ambivalent, if you want to put it that way.
Well, unfortunately, Jeff, I think a lot of people are becoming that way. Jeff, we appreciate the phone call, and that's the worst thing for the franchise. If people – it's only so much hurt people could have in the playoffs before they start to stop believing, and that – Hugh, that's the worst thing. When people don't believe anymore, that's hard to change.
And that's what I kind of felt. Like, again, like, you know, I know that when you talk about this being a sports town and how it's a bad look and everything, I agree with all of that. But at the same time, I also hear the fans talk about how much they've given and not gotten anything in return. I mean, that's the reality of this situation too. And I think that even though everything that Joel Embiid said was correct about this being a sports town and how you'd be a disappointed and everything like that, I mean, you have to kind of look at yourself a little bit, I think, and realize what you've kind of done to this fan base. I mean, they're a little jaded. Not a little jaded. A lot jaded.
Well, and on top of it, Hugh, a lot of these terrible losses have been at home.
Yes.
So it's like not only – it's one thing watching on TV at home, whatever, right? Like, it hurts. But I bet it hurts even extra being in the building for a really bad loss. Like, this game was just like Game 6 against the Celtics last year. They could have closed them out, and they barely scored the last 5 minutes. They had to go back to Boston. We know what happened. Those really stick with people.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the one thing that I heard, man. And the one thing that I never subscribed to is living in the past. But there's a lot of hurt Sixers fans around this city, dog. And when you call them to the carpet like that, and their retort was, well, hell, I've been riding with you for 8 years, and you've come up short just like you did now. I mean, that resonates. I mean, you have to know that. I mean, you know, I'm not, you know, as a former athlete, and I'm pretty sure, and as we know, a lot of athletes, they watch their Twitter feed. And you can't not be blind to the fact that you, regardless of what the situation is, because I'm not making any excuses, but you have to know that this fan base feels that there's been plenty of times that you fell short.
You always have to know that. You always bring up examples, Hugh, like the ebb and flow of a relationship. Well, you know, a husband, wife, or whatever the kind of relationship is, right? And you kind of have to sometimes tread lightly on what you say when you say it. That's the way I felt about Embiid talking about the fans yesterday. Like, all right,
do that, man.
Maybe you're not wrong in what you're saying. It is annoying. But maybe after you go without a basket in the fourth quarter, isn't the time.
You got to look at yourself.
Whew.
You got to look at yourself, dog. You know, like, you know, when it comes to that toilet, like with the toilet seat thing, you got to look at yourself sometime and realize where this might be coming from and understand that. You got to look at the other side. And I don't think he's doing that. I really don't.
Yeah, my first thought when I heard his comments, just like, are you really today? This is the time you're gonna say this. It's okay. You can feel whatever you want as a player when your building is overtaken by the rogue crowd. I'm sure it's frustrating. I mean, it's frustrating for all of us to watch that happen. I get it, but you gotta not answer that question that way. That to me, that was just way over the top. Alex is up next. What's up, Alex?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey,
up,
Alex.
Man? Hey. Like, listening to this fan, like, some of these callers, man, it's like you're in an abusive relationship. It's not his fault. He didn't mean to hit me. Like, Joel Embiid sucks, man. The process didn't work. He's not the freaking answer. He's not. He's the problem. Like, well, what do we keep doing? Every year, he's sitting there crying, oh, I've been here 10 years. I've never seen it. Well, guess what? We've been here 10 years, too. And we have seen this over and over and over again. I don't blame the fans for not showing up. It's no fun when the rabbit got the gun. You keep not showing up for us. Guess what? You don't deserve for us to show up for you. Like, why should we keep on doing it? Like, why should we keep supporting them? They don't put forth the effort to be representing the city of Philadelphia. The show me state. You know what I mean? Show us what you got. I'm tired of hearing all these excuses for Embiid and the team and everything. He's just not the dude. It's time to move on from him, man. It's a shame because 2 years ago you might have got something great for him. Now you stuck with this daggone anchor around your neck that you ain't going to be able to offload because the dude's hurt every year.
Well, the last part is the truth, Alex. Man, like, he is hurt every year. That's the reality. Alex, we preach to the phone call. And that's what frustrated me. Like, yeah, he could say, I mean, the line, it kind of pisses me off, especially because Philly is considered a sports town. Well, Joel, you're considered one of the best players in the world. I mean, and you've had three games in this series where you've been a zero in the fourth quarter. Like, that's you. That's not on the fans. That's on you. 215-592-9494. We'll keep your calls going after the break. A brutal Sixers loss. I feel like I've said that. I feel like you just, I don't even have to sit here today. Just take a show and take my voice from through last year, the year before, it's the same thing. Your reaction to that, Embiid's comments calling out the fans, and the Eagles draft. We'll get to some more audio from Howie here. What does the DeJean and Mitchell picks mean for Darius Slay and James Bradbury?
Dun, dun, dun.
More moves to come here. We'll discuss it next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
This is the absolute worst time of the year to be dealing with joint pain. You can't do the outdoor stuff that you love to do. It's starting to get warm outside. You know what I'm talking about, like hiking, jogging, biking, playing on the beach, etc. If you're tired of achy joints, call QC Kinetics before you agree to surgery or steroids and harmful medications. That's what tens of thousands of real-life patients around the country did, like my man Patrick. Patrick loved golf, but couldn't even walk because of his knee pain after his QC Kinetic regenerative treatment for his knees. He was back in the game, and he had his best handicap in 15 years. Or like my girl Julie, her doctor told her the only way she could get relief was a knee replacement. She went to QC Kinetics for a second opinion. Fast forward, no surgery, but Julie isn't limping around anymore, and she's riding her bike, going for hikes, feeling great, tells everybody she meets about QC Kinetics. QC Kinetics is at the top of the game with National Medical Director Dr. Mitchell Sheinkamp. Dr. Sheinkamp is a pioneer in this field with over 20 years of clinical work, tons of research, teaching, publishing. I'd love to be talking about you, your story next, where you will be able to get long-lasting relief with no downtime. So don't wait any longer, people. Call my folks at QC Kinetics right now for a free consultation at 215-999-3000, 215-999-3000. One more time, 215-999-3000.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. A lot to react to today as the Sixers do what they do. They lay an egg yesterday. Knicks fans take over. Joel Embiid after the game said he's frustrated. He's annoyed that all these Knicks fans are here. Well, I'm annoyed at Joel Embiid for no show another fourth quarter in the postseason. Two total fourth quarter rebounds in the series. He's shooting 3 of 18 in the fourth quarter. We'll get to all your reaction on Joel. We also have Joel Embiid excuse bingo here. We are getting pretty close to hitting bingo here before halfway through the show. So we'll get to that.
Bingo!
Oh, is that it? As soon as we hit it, we'll let you know. And, of course, we had a draft this weekend. Howie did a great job. I thought getting some of the players where he got them to move back up on Friday night for Cooper DeJean, I was ecstatic because that was the guy I wanted the whole time. They went and got him. All right, the question is, how are they going to use Cooper DeJean? Because he does a little bit of everything. He's been an outside corner. He's played nickel. He's played safety. Some people think, well, can he really play outside corner in the NFL? Here's Cooper DeJean on his versatility as he gets to the Eagles here.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is versatility, you know, just being able to play multiple positions. You know, and like you said, our defense was – we had a really solid defense last year. you know, and just the coaching part that I, the way I was coached at Iowa, you know, coached to be perfect and try and be perfect in everything that I do, you know, and that's what I'm going to try and do. You know, perfection is almost impossible, but that's something that I strive for each and every time I step on the field. You know, so I'm excited to get in here, learn this defense, you know, learn from the older guys who are in this building already, you know, and just get to work, get back to playing football.
I have a suggestion for Elliot when we get out to training camp. You know how he charts all the passes?
Yeah, chart Cooper.
I need to chart where Cooper's lining up because, Hugh, that's going to be, I think, the question of on the defensive side. Like, how are they going to use this guy? Because I don't think people look at him and say, lockdown outside corner. But they also think he might be able to play some corner. It's a matter of where and how Vic Fangio is going to use him.
You know what? I look at these young secondary players and the guys that they've gotten. And you talk about even CJ GJ. The fact that he's back here, I think of versatility, and it makes me remember back when Jim Johnson was here, and the more you could do, the easier it made to play defense, especially when you talk about football being so situational now. You know, nowadays you talk about personnel groupies and things of that nature, and getting tails against different teams and having to run guys off the field and run other guys on, and people know what your personnel groupies is. To have these versatile players, a guy like CJ GJ, a guy like Cooper DeJean, that you look at and you don't know exactly what position he's played. Only, yeah, by the way, he played basketball too, so that makes him, you know, I think it's something to be said about guys that play basketball, have that kind of basketball skill and are able to play football.
Mm-hmm.
I think it makes him versatile, and it also gives you an advantage in the sense that if you get caught in a certain defense, that you have guys out there on the field that you're comfortable enough with that you could play whatever you could play because they all understand the assignment. And I know that, you know, a lot of people hear me harp about this all the time, but this is a big deal, dude, to have people out there that are competent, that you won't get caught with your pants down if you get caught in the defense, that you don't run the personnel out there where you could just run it with the guys that you have. I don't know what position he's going to play, but I do think one of two things are going to happen. Either Reed Blankenship is going to be a backup or – Cooper DeJean is going to be one of the starting corners, along with Quinyon Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think. And to not to pat myself on the back, but it kind of played out, or it has the potential to play out like I always thought it would, Joe. It's going to be a lot of young Thundercats on this defense.
And they need it in the secondary. Yeah. I'm with you that DeJean is going to play. It's a matter of how they get him on the field, what the plan is. So, look, this all circles back to one thing. They have 11 corners now on the roster.
11.
Maybe 12 if you count Cooper DeJean. It's a ton. So, all right. Well, that means it's probably too many for the roster. What does it mean for the vets? Obviously, James Bradbury, we all wonder if his days here are very numbered. But there's also the other guy, Darius Slay. Howie asked about the vets here. What's their role considering they brought in all these new young guys?
So what's the future like for Darius Slay and James Bradbury? And also, you have a lot of cornerbacks now. Is there any thoughts potentially moving some of them to safety?
Yeah, I think that, you know, obviously we've talked about both those guys, you know, Slay coming off Pro Bowl year and James working to get back to how he was 2 years ago. And I think when you talk about corners, O-line and D-line, you can never have enough of those guys. I mean, it's just throughout the course of the season, having guys who can cover people so important. And obviously we've been in position over the past few years where we haven't had enough of those guys, you know, and whether that's through injury or just kind of, you know, not running out of guys towards the end of the season. So I don't think I think that's a good problem to have. I think that's what competition, you know, that shows its way through. We got a lot of practices, a long time to go before we go to Brazil. So I think it's our goal right now just to add as much competition as we can to this football team and let it all shake out.
Sometimes I really appreciate how GMs could do GM speak so well. So how he's saying that you can never have too many, right? He's right, right? Injuries are going to happen and whatever. They might need more than just six or seven to get through a season. But you know what he left out there? They're not all going to suit up on Sundays.
Mm-mm.
They're not suiting up 11 corners. So, yes, it's a good problem to have, Hugh, but I think he didn't want to say it because he doesn't want to give away leverage. I think there's a real chance we're getting a trade or at least a release of one of those two guys. And look, they wouldn't release Slay. He's too good to release at this point. But Hugh,
he could get traded.
He could get traded. Bradbury could get released and Slay could get traded.
Man, listen, I've been real bullish on this, and I still believe that this is I still believe this to be true because I feel like when you talk about the guys that we got, the one thing that sticks out to me about both of these corners and the one that we already have here and Kelee Ringo is that they're tacklers. They're tacklers. And that's something that was sorely missed in this secondary last year. And even from the safety spot, Reed Blankenship was not the best tackler out there. You got some guys out there that there are going to be some opportunities to be had, especially when you're going to be asked to be in the run game, run support. We've already known, or it's already been documented, that Slay is not going to tackle. He said that. It's not like I'm sitting up here bashing this dude, because he said it came out of his mouth that that's not what he's trying to do. I feel like that this defense is going to be asked to do that, especially the secondary players. When you talk about that young front line that we have and these young linebackers in the middle, you're going to ask your corners to come up in run support and help out in run support. We got a corner out there who said he's not doing that. So that makes, in my mind, that makes him expendable.
I'm going to paint the picture of how a Darius Slay trade happens. You ready for this? And I'm going to use the example of 2016 when they had Sam Bradford and they drafted Carson Wentz. And the plan was to slow play Wentz. He wasn't supposed to start right away. And he really looked good in training camp. And I remember there was a preseason game in Indianapolis, if my memory serves, and he had to work out on the field before, and the consensus among the coaches was he's ready to play.
Mm-hmm.
And that week or 2 weeks later, I remember I was on the air. I think I was on the air with Jody Mack, and it was a Saturday morning. Or I was on the air with Ray Dininger. It was a Saturday morning. And that was when we found out that Teddy Bridgewater had tore his knee up in Vikings camp. You know what I could see, Hugh? If these young guys, let's use the two one they just drafted, right? The two examples they just drafted, Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. Let's say they come into training camp and they just look like they're ready to play. And then we get to the end of training camp, close to the season, and a playoff-caliber team loses their starting corner. You know who's got a starting corner that can be traded there? The Eagles.
We do, yeah.
That's how the Bradford trade went down. They got a first-round pick for Sam. Now, they won't get a first-round pick for Slay, and that's cool. But that's how I could see it happening. So it is a good problem to have. And this draft class hits. It feels like they had a good draft. If they get these kids on the field and they could play early, I think they'll put them on the field. I think they'll play.
I think they have to play, Joe. I mean, because all the resources, for the most part, still are allocated to the offensive side of the ball. This is, if I'm correct, in which I think I am, this is going to play out exactly like I thought it would. This defense is going to grow and have an opportunity to be better as the season progresses.
Well, you know what's interesting, Hugh, because they've spent all the money on offense, right? That's what they've done the last few years. Have you noticed their drafts, though, in the recent years? It's been a lot on the defensive side. I'd say the last few drafts, they've really created a young defense. Jordan mm-hmm. Davis, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, Sidney Brown, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean. I mean, and we didn't even get to Jalix Hunt, who will, you know, he will tell us more about what he thinks of him later. But, like, that's a lot. They've used a lot of picks in recent years on some young defensive players. Now they got to play. Tyrone in Middletown. What's up, Tyrone?
Tyrone.
Hey, what's up, Big Pimpin'?
What's going
up, Julio?
What's up, Tyrone?
Happening?
How we doing, buddy?
I'm just kidding, man. But I like that call. But another thing about the Eagles call, I give my shout out, my respects to Mr. Lori for reaching out to the Trotters the way he did. As a person who, the mother of my children passed last year from AML, leukemia, and happiness. So it was devastating, not only to me, but to my kids. So I know how they felt when he reached out to them, and God bless him for that. But getting back to Joel Embiid, I first note I like to say that the Sixers are not built to win. They're built to basically to put on a show, to put people in the seats, and to be basically fairly competitive. Because if you look at basketball and in the NBA playoffs, primarily the game slows down, it becomes more physical. And the Sixers, they're a finesse team, and they're not completely built. And the toughest guy on the team is 5'11", 180 pounds, and he's 38 years old. And I think that when they got rid of Patrick Beverley and the big guy Marsh, who's Philadelphia's own, by the way, they should have kept him because he had a physical presence that they're lacking.
And he's experienced in the postseason. He's played a lot of postseason games too, Tyrone, which they could use that right now.
Yes, definitely. I think it's hard for them to expect people to shell out for two people that well over $1,000 playoff seats when actually the ownership is not going 100% to bring a winner in here, because as I said 3 months ago, it was better for them not to trade for Buddy Hield because they gave up what they are lacking now in the toughness and the size that we had coming off the bench. And getting to the Sixers, it's a great draft. You know, they shored up the corners. You know, they running backs. I think that running back is good. He needs to put on a little 10 pounds, though. He looks a little light. He's a good player. I watch. He's very good. And he nailed the draft, particularly for coming years when he picked up about three or four different picks.
For next year's draft. And, Tyrone, I'm glad you brought that up. Tyrone, good phone call. Because a lot of people thought with the all the kids staying in school and obviously the COVID rules that came into place 4 or 5 years ago, mm-hmm. that it changed the way this draft was, the depth of the draft, because a lot of kids stayed with NIL and the extra year eligibility. So Howie got three picks for next year by moving around with these picks. The running back's interesting, Hugh. They took Will Shipley from Clemson.
Yeah.
He strikes me as kind of a Gainwell type of player. Because Gainwell only has 1 year left on his deal to back up Saquon. I could see Shipley kind of taking that role and being the backup running back here for a while.
Yeah, he's made the other guys a little bit expendable. He really has. And what I got from him is that he's not as big as Saquon, but he's a back that can catch the ball out of the backfield. And a little bit of a change of pace guy.
And he was productive at Clemson.
Yeah. So like I said, like everything to me that the Eagles want to do, they can still do. I mean, the Super Bowl window is to me as open as it's always been, even though, you know, I know a lot of people might feel that this defense is going to be a little young. On the job training is never a bad thing. It's never a bad thing. And I think that the interesting thing to me is going to be how many of these young players, I don't know. It's kind of hard to say, Joe, with these 9 draft picks. If I was a betting man, I would say there's probably an opportunity for at least 7 of them to be here, at least. And I'm thinking probably the odd guys out, maybe the receivers, you know, because who's the receiver you just got from Cincinnati that's coming back? He was getting ready to retire. I forgot his name.
John Ross is going to participate in the rookie camp.
Yeah. So I'm thinking that at least 7 of these guys are going to make this roster, at least 7.
So, you know, you got me thinking there, your young Thundercats thing here, and you mentioned on the job
training.
Am I
starting to win you over a little bit?
Well, so here's what I – there's something exciting about having a lot of young players.
I've been trying to tell you that for months.
I will have to say that we have to allow some – I'll use your word, a grace, right? If you're playing –
some grace with the young cats.
If you're playing a lot of young players, they're going to make some mistakes.
Yeah, a lot of mistakes.
Okay. So I could see a scenario. Now, this might be through injury. It might be through trade. At some point this year where they have 7 defensive starters that are either first, second, third, or fourth year. Eight. Let me give you the names. I could see a scenario where they have 8 defensive players in the field that are very young. Quinyon Mitchell,
mm-hmm.
Cooper DeJean, Sidney Brown when he comes back from his injury, Jeremiah Trotter Jr., Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, Keely Ringo. That's 8 defensive players that are all, by NFL standards, very young.
Better score a lot of points.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be exciting if they play well. We'll also have to give them have some growing pains in there as well. 215-592-9494. Quickly, then back to the lines because Tyrone mentioned it. The Daryl Morey trade for Buddy Hield is Mike O'Donnell's an all-timer. I remember, can we hear it? Can you find it? When
you about to torture yourself like that.
When they traded for Buddy Hield, and I heard Daryl Morey at his press conference say this, listen to it.
We feel like we got the best player at the trade deadline that was traded, and we felt like he gave us exactly what we were looking for, which is, you know, he's one of the best 3-point shooters in NBA history. We really like what he adds to the team, and we feel like our healthy group, our playoff rotation with Buddy Hield is right there with everyone in the entire league. He puts the fear of God in the other teams.
You know what? Shut up. So
did he run around the block before he did that press conference?
He's always like that in press conferences.
Sounded like he was out of breath a little
bit. I know.
Bit.
I'm actually a little worried about Daryl. I hope he's okay. But that aside. So when he said that, I remember texting Kyle and I said, this is an all-time Philadelphia sports quote. If he's right, he called his shot, right? Like if Buddy Hield averages 15 a game and drains all these threes, he called his shot. I didn't expect it to go this way, this badly. But he said Buddy Hield puts the fear of God in defenses and is one of the greatest 3-point shooters ever. Buddy Hield, in 4 playoff games as a Sixer, I don't even know if we count the Miami one. Let's just use this series. 4 playoff games against the Knicks, has scored 2 total points and has made zero, obviously, he's scored two total points. He has made 0 3-point shots. Hugh, I don't know if I've ever heard an executive say one thing and it go the opposite, like, so far. He said he puts the fear of God on other teams. He hasn't made a three.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of those ones where, you know, it's funny because, you know, I like to be on social media, and I saw somebody had something where they were talking about Sixers fans subbing themselves in for Buddy Hield. And it just had, like, grandmas and everybody else just going out there and doing a much better job than Buddy Hield has done since he's been here. That's a bad look. That is definitely a bad look.
No, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's gone the exact opposite way. Jim's in South Jersey. Hey, Jim.
Jim.
Yep, I'm here.
What's up, Jim?
Hello?
Jim, yeah, we're Jim, here too.
We,
are you?
We listen to
you. I mean, come on.
What's up, Jim?
Waiting on you, Jim.
Not much. I was at the game yesterday. I was highly disappointed with all these Knicks fans there. I mean, I walk into there and they're saying, let's go Knicks the whole damn game. Like, I've been to Flyers games, playoff games. I've been to Phillies playoff games in this past run. You don't see anybody there. You come to this building and it's like, I'm in Madison Square Garden. It's ridiculous.
Well, it was, and the loudness, the volume of it, Jim, that's what caught me. I mean, I get it, right?
Yeah.
Like, I expected there to be a certain amount of thousand. They're not that far away. I get that. But the how vocal they were, that was unreal.
They were loud and boisterous.
I looked up, and there's a whole section up top. It was all Knicks fans, and it's just pathetic. And then walking out, I was walking to my car, and I can hear them chanting SMB and let's go Knicks out. Side of the stadium. That's pathetic. That's what Philadelphia is all about. If you're a Philadelphia sports fan, we're supposed to be that loud. We're supposed to be the best sports town in all of America, and that's just embarrassing, in my opinion. But, I mean, that's just me.
Well, I don't think you're the only one that feels that way. Jim, we appreciate it. I mean, obviously, Joel Embiid feels similar to that. I mean,
yeah, but look at the other side of it. There's been some long-suffering Sixers fans here. So I'm not too mad at him. I get what you're saying because this is a great sports town, but I'm not too mad at the fans for this one.
Hold on. You know who else has suffered for a long time?
Who's that?
Knicks fans.
Yeah, they I'm
yeah,
not
they're
talking
taking
about
the
fans.
Trip right down the turnpike and dropping all this money to and just they I mean they embarrassed us yesterday. Embarrassed us.
That was, you know, there's been a lot of tough moments for the Sixers in the playoffs the last 5 years. That was maybe the most embarrassing day. When you factor in the Knicks fans, you factor in that they didn't score for the last 5 minutes, the factor in that Embiid didn't have a shot he made in the fourth quarter. That, I mean, the whole thing.
The city took an L, a massive L, the entire city.
I hear what you're saying, but it played out this way for a lot of people that didn't go because they knew, like, there's a lot of people out there that feel like they're Nostradamus right now. Because they didn't want to put themselves through the pain of watching what they watched yesterday. Because for them, it's like Groundhog Day. So I'm not mad at them for not going to the game for that reason alone.
That's a lame excuse to me.
That is not a lame excuse.
It is a lame excuse because if you're a diehard Sixers fan.
If you're emotionally.
People spent money to go watch this team when there were 10 wins a clip. It's a season for the process.
Do you think anyone that chose to sell their tickets yesterday regrets it today?
Nope.
No.
I don't think so either.
But like that doesn't mean anything to me. Like you are, if you're a fan, you're a diehard fan, you go and support your team. Aren't we supposed to be like passionate, thick and thin?
I believe they're diehard fans, man. But it's one thing to hear the same thing over and over again and the results are the same thing.
It's fraudulent, is what it is.
It's not.
Because we pump our chest out and flex. We're the best sports city in America, basketball town, Sixers town. You know what? No, we're not. No, we're not.
So I think
we had a chance to tie the series yesterday. Yeah. We didn't show up.
All right, I'm going to do.
Guess who else didn't show up?
Joel.
Guess who else?
A team.
I don't disagree that he came up small in the fourth quarter. But, like, the reality of this, like, the fans weren't there and left before the fourth quarter.
But see, that's the reason why I'm not mad at the fans today. Because, Dave, how many years have you sat through this? How many years? Like, you want me to give you the small sampling size since I've been here? And I'm gonna keep it short and sweet for you. Joel Embiid has one monster game. And then all of a sudden, they're not back-to-back. Like, for an example, like Anthony Edwards. You know, I haven't watched one Minnesota Timberwolves game, but I've seen all his highlights because that young man has been talking trash all the way until he got the brooms out.
So we're front runners. So we're front runners.
No.
Yeah.
I don't look at it like that.
You're saying that we've been through so much heartache that we just abandoned the team.
I'll do what I hate with Embiid because it's been going on for a long time. But this is kind of new, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to make excuses for the fans. Okay? There's some excuse, bingo? I am. Well, you can start that. There's some circumstances here for this particular playoff run that are a little bit different than others. Number one, when they made that trade of Harden, and everyone hated Harden, they basically told us this was a pause year. They got role players back. You know, right? So from the beginning of the season, anyone that was being realistic said they're probably not winning the title this year. Then Embiid got hurt again, okay? And he was out for a long time. What did we all do in February? We all kind of checked out. And then they, at last five games, oh, wait a second. They might get a 3 seed. They might get a 4 seed. Let's get back into this. So people were mentally checked out from the beginning, rechecked out again. And then that's fair. If your team's not that good, you kind of mentally check out of a championship window. Okay. And then more excuses. They went down 0-2. Mm-hmm. So the series is probably in the tubes anyway, even though we didn't want to believe it. So you have all these things. And then the last one, this is the first time they've played a team like this, this close, right? This is not going to happen when you play the Raptors. It's not going to happen when you play whoever else they've played, or the Wizards, or you know, whoever, Miami. They're not coming here. You got fans 90 minutes away that could take advantage of the people who are out.
So front runners.
No, that's not fair.
That's exactly what you just described. Is that we checked out on the team.
It's not fair.
Why is it not fair? It's totally fair.
But it's okay to check out of this being a championship year. The Sixers checked out. They traded Harden for Covington, just had a chance
to go 2-2 in the series. All I heard for the whole last month is, the East is wide open this year.
It is.
Okay, well, then now what?
And it's so wide open that a team with Brunson and a bunch of grinders is going to make the Eastern Conference Finals.
Right, so what excuse do we have to check out of that for?
Well, I don't know.
We had a good chance.
We have as much of an excuse as I got a whole bingo board of excuses for the superstar who can't play in the fourth quarter. 215-592-9494. Hit your phone calls next. Are you annoyed with Embiid? Because he seems to be annoyed with all of us for not showing up yesterday. Knicks fans taking over, I always called it MSG. It was MSG South yesterday, unfortunately. And, of course, the Eagles. Your reaction to the draft, the pick of Cooper DeJean in the second round. Could we see a trade of one of these veterans in the secondary and the Trott Jr. pick in the fifth? 215-592-9494. We'll react.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.